And finally, all voting members of the Academy have nominated the following films for Best Picture.
Last week, the Oscars announced a new set of standards that Best Picture nominees will need to meet starting in 2024. Films will be required to satisfy 2 out of 4 categories, which include on-screen representation, creative leadership, industry opportunities, and audience development. And the overall goal is clear: to make the Oscars less white. But the new rules aren't exactly a game changer. Recent Best Picture nominees with mainly white casts, including The Irishman and La La Land, would still have no problem making the cut. For more, I'm joined by April Rain, the creator of #OscarsSoWhite. April, great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Fanshan Cox, head of strategic outreach for Pearl Street Films and one of the co-founders of Hollywood's Inclusion Writer. Fanshan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I have to say that I am such a huge fan of both of your work. Tanzina, your intersectional lens has brought me back to NPR. And April, of course, you know you're my daily inspiration to keep pushing. So I'm so glad to be here.
Fanshan, I can just have you on the show every day and we can repeat that.
Sounds good.
I'm taken aback and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for those words. We really appreciate them. Well, let's start with that, Fanshan. I mean, what were your thoughts on what just happened with this new rules from the Academy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. I think every time there's a new tool that we can utilize to change Hollywood is a good thing. I think then you dig in and do the work of critique and you know, kind of making sure that it really is following the path to change. I know we've learned that about the Inclusion Writer over the last couple years, but I'm excited for it. I think it addresses a lot of the things that we're looking to do with the Inclusion Writer, and for that I'm really grateful.
April, you are the pioneer behind Oscars So White, the hashtag that resonated around the world just a couple of years ago. When you see these new rules coming out of the Academy, will this mean the Oscars will be not so white?
I don't think so. I think okay. I'm a little glass less full than Fanshan is, but she always has such a wonderful spirit, so I take inspiration from that. You know, as you mentioned in the intro, there are so many films. You know, I think, what is it? The Annenberg study said that nearly 90% of the films from 2019 would have qualified. And so if you can qualify for these new diversity and inclusion standards without making any changes at all, especially when we look at films like Green Book, for example, which was widely criticized for its portrayal of traditionally underrepresented communities, if you can still make the rubric under the Academy's new standards without making any changes, then it clearly doesn't go far enough.
Yeah, April, one of the things that when we talk about things like affirmative action, for example, and putting these rules in place, often the beneficiaries of these rules are white women, as opposed to people of color. Are these new Oscar rules really going to increase the percentages of people of color specifically?
It remains to be seen, but I truly am not hopeful. I mean, let's remember, in 2016, year two of Oscars So White, when yet again, for two consecutive years, the no people of color were nominated for any of the acting categories. The Academy committed to doubling the number of people of color and doubling the number of women within its ranks by this year, by 2020. And they made this breathless announcement about how they had actually hit their numbers, which is great, right? Because we want more marginalized communities within the Academy. But again, when you peel back the layers, you see that there is very little change. So from 2016 to 2020, the Academy went from 92% white to 81% white. It went from 75% male to 67% male. Now, is that progress? Mm-hmm. Yes, but it still means that the Academy is overwhelmingly white and male. In addition, the Academy still does not require its membership to view the films or performances before they vote. So that means it's not a meritocracy as we would like to believe. It truly is something closer to a popularity contest amongst older white men.
Fanshan, your work has been largely on inclusion and equity writers. For those of us who are not traveling in Hollywood circles regularly, what does that mean?
It means that an A-lister, such as Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, who I work with, would include a clause in their contracts as they're negotiating, let's say, with a studio for the next role. And, you know, some people have very frivolous clauses like I spoke to someone, and this isn't frivolous, who said that she wants cruelty-free makeup in her trailer, right? And that was easy for her to implement, and that was part of her clause. Our clause says that we want the cast and crew to represent what the world actually looks like. So that's what the inclusion rider is. That's the purpose for it. And I just want to say I 100% agree with April that this is a tiny, tiny change in the sense of hoping that people will self-reflect as they choose who they're going to hire. But in reality, what we have to know is that all of these changes are only happening because of people like April, because of Black Twitter, because of those of us who are standing up and saying, we're not going to take this anymore. And so what's really happening is that nobody's watching the Academy Awards anymore, and that's why they're making this change. So the way that I see these things, the inclusion rider and these new, stipulations by the Academy, is that we can now hold people accountable. And that's what's important to me, is that when you say it publicly like this, when these films get nominated in 2024, we can say, listen, you said your purpose was to do this, and it still isn't doing that. And that is if people are still watching it all.
There you go. April, to that point, I mean, one of the things that often happens when we have diversity efforts, if you will, like this, is that the people that are hired to bring in that quote unquote diversity can sometimes be tokenized. I mean, it's something that's happened to me in my career where people will say, well, you're here to right some sort of racial wrong or gender wrong. But at the end of the day, how do we avoid tokenizing those people who are brought in under these new rules, for example?
Right. Well, I think the important thing is that we normalize inclusion. We all hate the word normalize, but we need to be more intentional.
There's so many words, but
we need to be more intentional, and we have to get buy-in from the top down, from the people that greenlight the films, from the studio heads. They need to make a commitment to these changes. And then, that information, having support and therefore resources for the rest of the studio to make the changes and decisions that we'd like to see, will be more easily implemented.
Fanchon, are you optimistic that will happen? We've got about 50 seconds left.
The top-down approach is exactly where the change needs to happen. So, currently that is a lot of older, white, cisgendered men. They probably will have to die out, I'm sorry to say. Well, no, I'm not. I think that ultimately, because they are the ones who really make these decisions about what gets greenlit, that is where the change is going to happen. And the beautiful thing is that we've got incredible young folks in that are coming up as emerging storytellers who are going to push for this change.
One question that comes up is about how awards are really just one part of the film industry. And we can talk about this in any industry, right? Journalism has similar issues with diversity and lack thereof. And then we think about who wins the Pulitzer and who doesn't. Is there too much focus on overhauling the Oscars rather than changing the industry more broadly? I'd love to hear both of your thoughts. April.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always say that, it must begin at the beginning, meaning we need to talk about what's going on with the screenwriter when they open their laptop or pick up a writing utensil. When a screenwriter sits down and says, I'm going to write the next big budget action film, and that my protagonist is going to be, a tall, leggy blonde from the Midwest. Well, that's fine. But by the time, the script is finished and it goes to the agent, the producer and the director, and they're going to casting, the only person anyone is thinking about is Scarlett Johansson or Jennifer Lawrence. And then we have to ask, what does the person's hair color have to do with them being a badass protagonist, right? Nothing. And so we need to change where we are at the very beginning. I've always said that it's about whose story is being told and who is telling the story. So, Hollywood, as you mentioned, is, the Oscars are at the end. It's after the film has been made, and that's why I think these new standards from the Academy are so interesting, because you can qualify by hitting at least two of the four, two of them being regardless of where you are in the production of the film. You can hit it after the fact. So your film can be, you know, as homogenous and generic as, you know, The Irishman or any other film, and yet still qualify for Best Picture.
Vanshin, when we think about, you know, a lot of these writers and, you know, when you're talking about frivolous things, I kept thinking about the joke that I only want, you know, green M&Ms or something, you know, only Avion water, things like that. But these are really serious asks, especially in this moment. Do you often hear pushback from folks who say, I don't really think that's necessary, or, you know, why do we need to do that?
And that's part of these lessons that we've had to learn in the last couple of years, are how to respond to the pushback immediately, to, you know, to shut it down and to keep moving forward. So we get everything from the initial pushback was, you know, that you're forcing us to hire people that don't exist. And so we started to collaborate with people who are creating databases, full of women of color, for example, women of color storytellers like the JTC list. I created a podcast called Sister Brunch, which is highlighting Black women working in entertainment, precisely for these reasons: is they are out there. You just are not looking for us. So that was our first point. Another piece of pushback we get a lot, and this was really interesting to figure out how to respond to, was, oh, we're already going above and beyond that. We don't need to sign that writer because we're so committed to this. And of course, this is that performative statement like we've seen, you know, recently with around the George Floyd protests, because then when the film comes out, it never actually reflects that. But when someone says we're already doing that, how do you respond to that? So of course, our response now is, great, go ahead and sign this as well. Because one of the pieces of the inclusion writer that gets lost often is that we have tied in after the fact analysis. So the film comes out, we go back and we work with Annenberg to examine the numbers, really do an analysis of the numbers. And then that production company or studio pays a fee for the places where they weren't able to meet what they had committed to. And that fee then goes back into emerging storytellers, to April's point around starting from that point of the process. And then finally, what we're getting right now is, we have to deal with COVID, so we just don't have time to do anything else. You know, our attorneys are really busy, so they can't spend the time on looking over this, which is a, you know, 3-page template with very easy to meet standards, but they don't have the time. So that's our latest.
April, do you see any potential points of pressure that could be applied to the industry moving forward to increase diversity? Obviously, the public accountability is one thing, but we are, as you know, in a pandemic, and that's really shifted the industry and how people are viewing the industry, the dollars that are flowing into, at least from movie theaters and the like. And so the industry itself is sort of in this weird place. But are there potential areas that consumers and entertainment consumers can put pressure on Hollywood if they want to see more change?
Absolutely. You know, and we do that with our dollars, you know, either through streaming services, right, because most of us are still at home, and so we're not going into movie theaters, or when we go eventually to the movie theater, we choose what we want to see. And I think that consumers are becoming much more savvy and saying, we will choose those things that represent us. And we see that at the box office time and time again, with films like Coco and Crazy Rich Asians, and obviously Black Panther, $1.4 billion worldwide. You know, and I think that we are in a really interesting place right now with respect to the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery right now. You know, I think the entire country, regardless of race and ethnicity, is sort of sitting up and saying, you know what, things are kind of bad. You know, let's be more intentional with respect to the choices that we make. And so, you know, we see that brands are shifting, and, you know, everybody put their little Black Lives Matter flyer out there. But again, consumers are savvy and saying, okay, that's great for social media, but what kind of money are you putting into these changes? We also see people like Michael B. Jordan, who was an early adopter of the inclusion rider, and other producers saying, you know, we're no longer going to wait for a seat at the table in Hollywood. We're going to create our own mansion and put our tables in it. And people are responding positively with respect to those choices and making their determinations about where they're going to spend their hard-earned dollars.
Yeah, I think the pandemic really made it clear to a lot of us how lacking we are. I mean, many of us knew already, but others who kind of have just gotten used to not being able to see ourselves and, you know, watching streaming content or TV or films. And here we are in the pandemic. And I know so many of my friends and myself said, you know, I'm only going to watch things with Black and brown people in them. And I ran out of content within a couple weeks, right?
Oh my gosh.
So it's also just saying we are refusing to continue to watch content that reflects whiteness as the default for human being. We are not going to watch this anymore. And we have to be both vocal about it, but also not choose to actually not watch it.
And I also want to just point out, you know, I know the inclusion writer, Oscar So White, is not just race-based, right? We're talking about all traditionally underrepresented communities.
Yes.
So that's race and ethnicity, that's disability, whether cognitive or physical, visible or not, that's age, that's sexual orientation, that's gender identity, that's indigenous people. It's all people who have been marginalized in this country. They deserve to have their stories told, and we all will be richer people for having watched and consumed those stories.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree. I mean, I think we have this a similar issue in journalism, and I'm a Latina, you know, from a working class background who's 45 years old. So I feel like, Fanchon, to your earlier point about just the intersectional lens, I think that's often lost a lot in conversations around media as well, and how those layers, you know, really add to our lived experience and what we can offer to audiences.
Yeah. It's interesting that in the kind of the opening statement for the Academy changes, they say that they're making these changes to better reflect the diversity of the movie-going audience. Well, they've left out a huge swath of movie-going audience because we don't see ourselves, right? Mm. So that is exactly the point, is that we all have the right to see ourselves reflected in our media and in our entertainment. And until we do, all of these, you know, kind of minor changes will be minor.
Well, on that note, we will continue to pay attention. Fanchon, April, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.